Hello, this is Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net, where the paranormal is normal. We've all heard of hypnosis, but many have no experience of stage hypnosis, where a hypnotist invites people to come on stage and then sorts out those who are extroverts, who are open to suggestion. In this way, he gets several people already part hypnotized on stage and then proceeds to deepen the trance in order to get them to do amusing things, which will certainly entertain the audience. And this gives a good insight into the amazing power of hypnosis. In the past, a stooge used to be used, who pretended to be in trance and did very stupid things to encourage those on stage to do the same. Today, this technique is not normally allowed in the UK. My guest today is an all-round entertainer who often carries out stage hypnosis. His name is Chris James. Hello there.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so perhaps we can spend a little time talking about stage hypnosis, which is something I've been interested in for a long time. And you do as part of your normal entertainment act, I believe. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, not sometimes, all the time. I do a mixture of sort of mind control, suggestion, hypnosis as part of my show.
Yeah, okay. Now, perhaps you could go through with me what the sort of routine and how you start up. Do you start up with music, loud music to start off with, or do you just come on stage and start talking to people?
Not at all, not loud music as such. I mean, with hypnosis, you're wanting to get people into a relaxed state of mind to sort of enhance the suggestion. So, yes, while the show starts off fairly fast and furious, after that you're looking to sort of get volunteers on stage and relax them down to sort of become susceptible to your suggestions, basically.
Yeah. The show I went to many years ago, they had there was about, oh, I should think it was 20 minutes of very loud and highly distorted, horrible music before the hypnotist came on stage, and everybody was sort of shell shocked by this. It was quite awful, and I thought perhaps that was something that's normally done, but you're saying not.
Certainly not today. No. Yes, I think perhaps techniques may have moved on a little since then.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah. So now another thing that's interesting, how do you, in your talking to people, you have to do a test to find out the people that are particularly susceptible to suggestions.
Now, well, there is some debate, and it sort of, if you got a dozen or so experts in a line and asked them, you know, is hypnosis real? Half of them would say no, it doesn't exist, and half of them would say it does. Effectively, hypnosis is a placebo. It is the hypnotist giving the suggestion to the volunteer, and then the volunteer enacting those suggestions. So what you're looking for is someone that is susceptible to suggestion.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. And my particular interest is trance and telepathy. And, of course, there's no doubt that people that are hypnotized are in trance, whatever that means.
Well, that's the question, Richard, to be honest. There is debate. Does the trance really exist? I mean, I'm a stage hypnotist, and I see people do some amazing things, and there are sort of situations where, let's be quite honest, operations are performed and pain is nulled. So one would suggest that there is a trance-like state. But for a stage hypnosis show, there is, you know, it is a placebo effect. It is the volunteer wanting to do those things.
Ah, yes. But I'm sure they are hypnotized to a greater or lesser extent. There's no doubt about that, but
certainly.
Very fascinating. And now the show I went to, I'll keep on harping back to that, many years ago, there was an obvious stooge who was doing lots of stupid things, cause the merriment, the laughing, tends to be something which introduces trance and hypnosis. But I don't think nowadays you're even allowed to have a stooge, or do some hypnotists have a stooge?
There is no rules and regulations to these things. I mean, if a stage hypnotist professes to be a stage hypnotist and he wants to take a stooge along, that's his decision, but then he shouldn't be advertising himself as a stage hypnotist, should he? But at the end of the day, it is for entertainment. I mean, I'm sort of thankful I've never used a stooge. And in fact, in a number of my shows, it would be impossible to do so because, I mean, just take recently, in fact, this week, working in Barcelona for a company. Now, the company had 300 employees there. If I'd taken a stooge along, she would have stood out like a sore thumb, and they would have known that it was fake. So, no. There are situations where people on stage are so extravagant with what they do, you would believe that they are a stooge, where in fact they're not. They are just very susceptible to suggestion.
Yeah.
Nothing more. Nothing more.
No, that's fair enough. But how then do you select the people that you invite up on stage, may I ask?
I don't. They select themselves because you ask for volunteers. They get up. They walk on stage.
I see.
And it is from that point onwards that you then narrow them down to the ones that are more susceptible to suggestion than the others, perhaps. But the selection process is effectively done by the volunteer.
Yes, I see. Yes, I was the one I was familiar with, the hypnotist. Sort of semi hypnotized the whole audience, and
impossible to do.
Well, yes, I mean, well, I was sitting there and I wasn't hypnotized, but
impossible to do. All he's done is he has effectively used the group, found out by doing a few simple tests like the hands clasp test or pushing your hands above your head. He's found out who is susceptible in that score and said, come up on stage. There wouldn't have been any mass hypnosis as such.
No, there wasn't. But he did use this hand clasp thing, you know, to select people. So, yes, no, obviously your system is fine. People volunteer right from the start, and then some are rejected and you send them back to the audience.
That is the law. You're not allowed to actually say to somebody, hi, Richard, I want you to come and join me on stage to be hypnotized. You're not allowed to do that in the UK. You have to have willing, over the age of 18 volunteers. You're not allowed to drag people out of the audience. That is the 1952 Hypnotism Act.
Yeah, fine.
Can't be done.
No. I wondered, can you tell me if a similar sort of situation exists in the US and Canada?
They're very much more relaxed about hypnosis. I mean, they have hypnosis in secondary schools and in colleges for students to participate in. In this country, I think you'll find you'd be locked up if you tried to do that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My goodness. So... And now I believe you belong to the Federation of Ethical Stage Hypnotists, which is clearly a very good thing. And I had a look on their website to see roughly what they're about, you know. And one of the things is, of course, that they insure. If you're a member of that federation, you get insurance, which is good. Yeah.
Oh, yes, most definitely. I mean, FESH have been very fortunate to secure an insurance company that will insure its members should they wish to take out the insurance. Mm. So just by becoming a member of FESH doesn't guarantee you automatic insurance. You then can obtain insurance through an insurance company that we have affiliation to, but they will only insure FESH hypnotists, yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, there are very few insurance companies in the UK that will insure stage hypnotists for one reason or another. We are very fortunate that if you become a member of FESH, technically your competence and experience is of the view from the insurance company that they're willing to insure you without any further questions.
And but I assume then that perhaps there are non-ethical hypnotists, you know, hypnotists not belonging to FESH, who are less restricted in what they do. And
as in every profession, whether you're and this is no disrespect to any plumbers or carpenters or electricians, there will be ethical ones and there will be unethical ones.
Mm.
And that applies to every business in the world, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Yeah.
Likewise, there will be ethical broadcasters and unethical broadcasters. Except the unethical ones don't advertise the fact that they're unethical.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah. Now, I wonder if you could perhaps go through some of the things which you get your volunteers to do on stage.
It can vary. They can be watching imaginary television, comedy shows. They can become pop stars, racing drivers, jockeys. You know, there's only a certain pool of sort of sketches that hypnotists tend to pull from that work well, and those that have been in the trade long enough know which ones work at which show, and then will adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
So it's all about experience and pulling on that experience that you've had over the years to perform a show that works best for the client that you're on that particular occasion.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so my show is Paranormal is Normal, as I mentioned to you the other day. And for you, of course, stage hypnosis is very normal, but the person that goes there for entertainment, sometimes they get perhaps a bit of a shock to see what people get up to.
Well, that's where your ethical and unethical hypnotist comes in, doesn't it, really? You see, if you're advertising a show, and you are going to watch, let's for instance say Bruce Forsyth, you know what you're going to get. If you advertise a show and it's Roy Chubby Brown and you go to watch that show, you know what you're going to get. And that's where the ethical and unethical sort of line draws, I suppose, because if a hypnotist says they are you're going to come along and be hypnotized and enjoy yourself, then you're not going to expect to have anything untoward happen. Whereas if you're going to see the Roy Chubby Brown type of hypnotist, you would quite rightly expect to be shocked and nothing more.
Yeah. I mean, the show that I went to, it was just in a hall in my hometown, and I went along not really to be entertained, but just to see what it was all about, because I was just sort of nosy, you know. But well, I suppose some of the people went there knowing what sort of show it was and knowing what it was about, and perhaps having been to other shows. Yeah.
They tend to draw a certain public, and that's what it's about. You know, you see a show advertised, if you want to or are interested in it, you'll go and watch it. If you're not, you won't.
Mm. Yes. So a family affair, or as you were doing yesterday, a business trip, presumably it was a business dinner, and almost all the members of the firm were there, whether they liked it or not. They weren't asked. They just
Correct. Yeah. So therefore, experienced and ethical hypnotist would understand what his audience wants and adjust his show accordingly. So, you know, the show would be, having been discussed with the client, client wants X, you give them X, you don't give them Z.
No, that's fair enough. There's obviously a great deal of thought and so on, experience has to go into these things.
Most certainly, you can't just hope to get up and do what you want to do. You have to have a little bit of a game plan, but the important thing is to be able to change that game plan. That's the difference.
Mm. Now, going back again to the show I went to, one of the individuals started hysterical crying on stage. Now, this does happen, I believe, to particularly disturbed individuals, and you have to watch out for this sort of thing, I guess, and do something about it.
It may happen once in 1,000 shows. I've been performing for 20 years. I've hypnotized well over 20,000 people, and I've never had it happen.
No. Well, I'm a bit jaundiced, you see, because I've only been to one show, and at that show, it was pretty awful, I have to say, and one individual did get very upset, and the hypnotist then very hurriedly tried to dehypnotize them and presumably send them back. I don't know what happened, but anyway.
Then you see, you have to remember that hypnosis is a placebo, so that was just something that they obviously wanted to do at that time. There can be a number of reasons for it. It could be just something in their personal life at that moment in time. You just don't know.
Yeah. And, of course, people that have had rather a lot to drink, that
you
upsets...
You can't hypnotise anybody that's had a lot to drink. Impossible.
Mm. Oh, well.
Because no. You have to be in touch with reality to be hypnotised. If you are drunk, then you have no concept of what is happening, so therefore you cannot be hypnotised.
No, I see. Oh, well. Well, that's fair enough. Now, another thing you advertise is that you do mind reading, or that's a sort of part of your show, and I wonder what that involves.
It's an entertainment whereby perhaps members of the audience will think of a place, perhaps a town, a name of someone, and hopefully through suggestion and psychological techniques that you sort of develop over the years, you get to get the answer right. You don't always, but 9 times out of 10 you do, and that's the important thing. It's the 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Well, I've studied trance and telepathy, as I mentioned, because of an experience I had when I was very young, and I'm a great believer in telepathy, and I'm very interested to ask you the question. Do you think that you pick up messages, or someone maybe the other way around, some of your guests
I have no doubt that sort of possibly some people can, some people have that ability. I don't know whether I have it or not. I do have a method of achieving what I want to achieve through psychological suggestion, intuition, if you like, body language. There are a number of, touch reading. So mine isn't what I would call you think of an object and I'll think of the same thing. I am using suggestion all the way through to try and achieve what I want to achieve.
I
have no doubt perhaps that, some people are or can be telepathic. There are tests, as we all know, and people have gone through those tests, and sometimes they work out for them, sometimes they don't. So I think perhaps, we all were at one point in time, but the security of the house, the alarm clock, the security systems at home have perhaps stopped us from being so in touch with that side of ourselves that we used to be. Don't know.
Yeah. No, it's fair enough. And going back to the hypnosis show, you presumably have, as you mentioned, a range of things which a list of things which you then select certain items for to suit the particular audience you have. Can I ask what sort of antics some of the non-ethical hypnotists get up to?
For me, you see, the importance of the show is not necessarily what the volunteer does, but how they do it and the way they react. So, for instance, if you were watching an imaginary television and you were finding it very funny, obviously you would be laughing sort of at that show, and then an instant change to a sad programme. It's not just a change, but you can actually see the face change, the expression change, the mood of the person change. And for me, that does more than having someone run across the stage chasing a chicken. Because it's the immediate reaction, the immediate response of the body tone, the body language, the look of the body that makes the show.
Yeah. You do have people chasing chickens, do you?
No, I don't. No, never have had anybody chasing chickens. They might milk the odd cow. They might race in the odd Grand National. They might become Elvis Presley or Madonna. But I've never had them chasing chickens, no.
No, oh, that's fair enough. Yeah. Now, some I know. I once heard a radio broadcast, and the hypnotist was getting people to do the most outrageous things, even just on the radio. You know, I mean, it was completely outrageous and offensive.
In particular,
he got people thinking they were chickens, and then saying to them, "Ah, well, you're laying an egg, but the egg is square." And you're having difficulty getting this egg to come out. And I felt that was terrible.
But then what sort of program was it?
It was a radio program. It was BBC Radio, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously have standards that they set to, and they didn't feel it was offensive, I shouldn't think. And I, when you say offensive, it's not as if it's the visualization of what you see, isn't it? The visualization of radio. So it's what you perceived that program to be, not what it actually was. Because if laying a square egg is offensive, I'm confused.
Yes. Well, yes, it was.
It has to be the picture that's painted by the listener that's offensive.
Yes.
Not the broadcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. No, the picture was painted by the hypnotist, you know, and in his words and comments and so on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
And again, was the program before 9 o'clock or after 9 o'clock? Is it, you know, so
yes,
there are times, aren't there? So, and there are guidelines, and they would have had to stick to those more stringently than the hypnotist would have.
Yeah. I don't remember. It probably was late. Yeah. I'm surprised you use the word placebo, sort of trying to infer that the people are not hypnotized, but clearly, to my mind, they are.
And to the audience's mind, they are. And when I look at people, I'm only going by what the experts explain. And I'm not what I would call a medical expert. I am a stage hypnotist. I've been doing it for 20 years and I have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
But that's how the experts describe it, as a placebo.
Yes, well, fair enough, I suppose.
So, you know, unless anybody can sort of prove... again, it's all hearsay, isn't it? To some extent, because do the experts really know? But, you know, I've seen people do things, and I'm thinking, well, if that's a placebo, then, you know...
yeah.
I'm confused as well. Because... Yeah. There is just no way that person would react in that way if it was just a placebo. But that's what we're led to believe. That's what we're told. And, you know, when you look at the concept of what actually happens, the hypnotist comes on stage, invites people up on stage, and effectively asks them to do things.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's
whereas, you know, there is some, you know, showmanship in getting them to that stage, but effectively that's all they're doing.
Yeah. Yes. Whereas, going back again to the dreadful show I saw many years ago, the hypnotist came along, he got his people sitting in a row.
Do you know the name of the hypnotist? Do you remember the name of the hypnotist?
Not at all, no. It was so long ago.
So that's the big question you see here, Richard, because the important thing, you don't remember the name of the hypnotist. And I don't have an issue with that, but nobody ever remembers the name of the hypnotist.
No.
If I was to ask somebody... Or someone, I quite often get people come up to me after my show and say, "Oh, we saw a hypnotist in Spain." And I'll sit and, "When did you go?" He said, "Oh, we saw them last year." And I'll say, "Well, what was the name of the hypnotist?" "Oh, I can't remember."
No
one ever remembers the name of the hypnotist.
Yeah, that's fair enough. In fact, what this fellow did was to come up behind them and suddenly push their heads forward, which is not allowed in this day and age.
It is. Yes, it is.
But perhaps some do that, do they?
That's... Yeah, they still do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no. There are a number of inductions, and you know, is an induction into hypnosis, or an induction in an invitation to do as I ask you to do?
Mm. Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Oh well, you've given us a big insight. Into your business.
Hopefully a truthful one too.
Oh yes.
Yes.
So. Well, I think I've made it clear. I don't go with the placebo business. I'm quite sure that.
Oh
people...
No. I want to make it quite clear. Although that is, you see, the perception is that everybody on stage is hypnotized, and whilst that perception is true, and I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, there is no way that some people would perform what they perform unless they were hypnotized, it is, there are certainly circumstances. And the thing with hypnosis, if you ask anybody when they wake up, their number one memory will be, oh, I knew what I was doing, I just went along with it. That's what they will say to you, every one of them. Every single one of them will say to you, I knew what I was doing, I just went along with it. Now, that is hypnosis.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, but having said that, when you see their expressions, their faces, their body tone, their body language, there's just no way that I feel that as you, it's a placebo. I just cannot believe that.
No, no.
But that's what they say it is.
Well, so, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am with you on it, Richard, to be honest.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome, Richard, anytime.
Okay.
Yep. Speak soon.
Very good. So I've had an interest in stage hypnosis for many years after I booked in to see a show in my hometown. I suppose I went to see if hypnosis is really true and to find out if it is somewhat faked, which is probably the reason why most people go. I didn't go for entertainment, and in fact I was somewhat appalled by what I saw. There was an obvious stooge whose antics raised many laughs, but that helped with the hypnosis, which is fair enough. And then another thing happened that made me critical of stage hypnosis. A few years after going to that show, I had two lodgers at the local university who went to a show there, and one of them, I learned afterwards, was hypnotized on stage and did the usual amusing antics. After the show, he had no memory of it, but was slightly disorientated. That night, my wife heard noises in our bedroom, and I found him sleepwalking. So my wife had to gently lead him back to bed. Fortunately, he seemed to be okay in a day or two. So that's why I am inclined to criticize stage hypnosis. Chris assured me that here in the UK, the techniques allowed have changed since the 1952 Act. Also, techniques have changed, with hypnotists being guided and vetted by the Federation of Ethical Stage Hypnotists. As Chris said, he's done shows for 20,000 people without incident. But my experience of only two shows many years ago tell a different story. Clearly at that time the shows were unregulated and many hypnotists were putting their volunteers into a deep trance, which caused problems. Nowadays stage shows can use a light trance, which is enough to make the volunteers act as suggested in an amusing way, and is sufficient to produce an amusing show. Hopefully this is always the case, as is the case with today's guest. I was quite amazed to hear him talk of these shows as using the placebo effect, which is the official line regarding the shows, and maybe in some cases this is so, but generally I'm sure that it's not necessarily the case. Make no mistake, deep trance has to be handled very carefully, and clinical hypnotherapy can produce very spectacular results. But great care has to be taken to bring the subject slowly out of trance afterwards. On stage, the hypnotist has no knowledge of the depth of trance, but he should be able to have time to dehypnotize his subjects. If you look up dangers of stage hypnotism on the internet, it says that there is no risk, and anyway, the subjects fully understand what to expect. I certainly didn't know what to expect when I attended a stage show. But on the other hand, if you look up the dangers of stage hypnosis, not hypnotism, please note the slight change in wording, you will learn of a very different view of these dangers. I expect that this may have been posted some while ago, but the horrors on this website are all too similar to my experiences of years ago, when deep trance was probably the norm. And note that my experiences were of only two shows. Having said that, it is clear that a modern show by an experienced hypnotist will be able to produce good entertainment with only a light trance, which should produce no psychological problems either during the show or afterwards. But do be aware of unscrupulous or untrained hypnotists without insurance, and this applies to the people attending the show as well as the promoter. Visit my guest's website, which is www.showinfo.co.uk, to see the quality of his shows and his experience. My thanks again to Chris James, the all-round entertainer. I hope I have presented a balanced picture of stage hypnosis today, which is difficult to understand but is quite normal. This is Richard Allibone on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.